afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, America's business lifestyle coach, and you have arrived at the one place on your internet dial where we empower you to break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. Today's show is sponsored by Von Nature, the ultimate in natural and organic skin and body care. From body and bath to face, including an extensive line of mineral makeup, Von Nature offers clean products free from fragrances or fillers. Visit their website at vonnature.com, that's V-O-N-N-A-T-U-R.com, or call them at 866-628-8744. You know, a research firm called eMarketer, which specializes in researching online and e-commerce marketing trends, recently said that U.S. Internet ad spending is forecast to be $16.4 billion this year, up 30.8% over last year. Clearly, online ads are increasingly influential, yet at best, it remains a complicated, ever-changing, labor-intensive, and sort of mushy outlet, especially for small businesses with little time and money. What can a company do to achieve the best return on investment from online advertising? How do you choose which search engines to target? How do you choose your keywords, and when do you change them? What about click fraud? How do you track online advertising success? These and other related questions are the undisputed territory of today's guest, Catherine Seda, author of Search Engine Advertising, Buying Your Way to the Top to Increase Sales. Catherine is an expert in the area of search engine advertising and has helped many companies leverage internet marketing for over a decade. Her book is fantastic, and she is here to guide us and direct us through the online advertising quagmire. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna Maria. Thank you for having me.
It's wonderful to have you here. I'm very excited. I want to start off the show by asking you a question that I love to start off my shows with, and that is, we are all lifestyle CEOs, and my listeners out there all have a story of their transition process from full-time traditional work to being an entrepreneur, and I'd like for you to share yours with my listeners.
Oh, good thing. I don't get asked this question very often, so thank you. I spent several years, probably 6 years, working for agencies, web agencies and TV agencies, and I think I always had the entrepreneurial spirit, but it took me a while to figure that out. All I knew is that I was ready to start choosing my own projects I wanted to work with, my own clients I wanted to work with, and I found working for agencies, while I had to do all the internet marketing for clients, I really didn't get to teach, and I know that at my core, I am a teacher, and I love being able to write books and teach seminars, and my jobs at agencies didn't really allow me to do that.
Mm.
So in 2003, I left right before, actually gave my notice before my book deal came in, and I think a week after I gave my notice, and I said, oh, thank goodness, I'm on the right path.
Good timing.
Yes. I probably should have waited until the book deal came in, but... It was time.
Now, from the way your book reads, you absolutely are a teacher. You have wrapped your hands around a very difficult and sometimes frustrating subject for small businesses and made it kind of palatable. So I want to definitely jump right in and talk a little bit about that. We'll start sort of with a broader picture and then narrow ourselves down because kind of a context is really helpful to have. When we talk about search engine advertising, Catherine, what in broad terms are we talking about?
Okay, and for all the listeners on the phone, if you want to go to, I'll use a couple examples during this call. If you want to go to a browser and go to google.com, and I'll pull up a couple examples. So when
you
look, I'm sorry?
I said good, let's all
okay.
do that. If we
good,
can.
Okay. So if you're looking at a search engine like Google, let me first explain how the search engines work. There are two different kinds of search results. So I type in, for example, feng shui consultant. And if you type in any keyword, you'll see across the top, there's something on the right-hand side, something called sponsored links.
Mm-hmm.
And usually search engines have these. This is the search engine advertising portion. Generally, these are pay-per-click ads where you can buy your way to the top of any keyword you want.
Okay.
And let me tell you a bit about how this works. Most of the search engines, Google, Yahoo, and MSN, those are the big three when we talk about search engine marketing. For a $5 account activation fee, you can open up an account using your credit card and start bidding on keywords. And you get to actually write the title and description that you see here, and then send people to your website. And for the bids, generally, I shouldn't say that, it used to be the highest position got the highest, or the highest bid got the highest position. That's not really the case anymore. Yahoo still works that way, but they're changing. Your position of the ad placement you get is based on a combination of what you're willing to spend per click and your click-through rate. So the search engine.
Okay, so it's partly determined by the users of the website.
It is, because the search engines say this is one factor in determining how relevant your ad is, but it should be no surprise this makes a heck of a lot more money for the search engines, too. Because if you're number one and you don't get any clicks, the search engines don't make any money.
Right. Right, got it.
Okay.
Okay, so when I'm like looking at Google right now, and I mm-hmm. see sponsored links down the right, and I also see sponsored links at the top with a blue background. Are those different?
Nope, they're the same. Usually position number one and two will get that longer ad copy across the top. So mm-hmm. if the search engines offer that placement, one and two will show up there, and the rest of the ads will show up on the right-hand side. Sometimes you can scroll down to the bottom of Yahoo, for example. They'll have more ads all the way at the bottom of the page.
Mm-hmm. And the text that we see here next to the name of the company with the website link, is that the text that is that the company's keyword text or the text that they're using to actually place the ad on the search
yep.
engine?
This is all controllable. So, for example, I typed in feng shui consultant, and these are the ads that came up. So these are the folks who are bidding on that particular keyword.
Mm-hmm.
And then the title for something like Google is 25 characters, including spaces. That's the first line. And then you get two description lines. Each are 35 characters, including spaces. MSN is actually the same. And Yahoo, although they have longer ad copy to work with, they're really cutting their ads, so you basically see the same size ad as Google and Yahoo.
And can you tell from looking at these sponsored link results how successful one of these companies' Google ad campaign is as of now?
It would be tough because it could be one, you know, certainly the ones in the higher positions are doing well because if they didn't get any clicks at all, it doesn't matter if they're paying $100 per click or more, they're not going to show up in a top position.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't say which is the most successful because someone could be paying more money, or a tactic is if you can get a lot of people to click on your listings, you can actually reduce your bid. So,
right.
for example, wait, did you ask me?
No, I said right.
Clarification on it. So that way, let's say you were bidding $1 per click, but if you get more clicks than your competitor, you could go down to, let's say, 50 cents per click and still be above your competitor because you're making the search engines more money.
Right.
You
can change it. You can go down to 50 cents per click whenever you want to.
Yes.
Wow. And so let's look at the non-sponsored links.
Yep.
Give us an overview of what those are.
So we have the pay-per-click ads, which will normally be across the top because those make money for the search engines. Then in the organic listings, you've got these listings that are kind of in the main body of the search results page on Google. And Yahoo and MSN might bury those a little bit down further on the page because the search engines don't make any money from this. However, if you optimize your website, you put keywords in different areas of your website, it can show up here in the free rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your question might be, because I get a lot of people who say, well, why do pay-per-click? I just want the free rankings, right? Why pay for
right.
it if you don't
yeah.
have to?
Exactly. Good question.
Yeah. Well, if you notice at the top, do a search for, when I looked at feng shui consultant, on Google, there are 1.1 million documents for feng shui consultant that all want a top 10 position.
Mm-hmm.
So to climb to the top of those kinds of results is going to be very challenging. It could take months and months, and there are no guarantees.
Right, and that's a very useful tool up there that you just talked about, knowing how many companies or how many links fit that description.
Right, because if we took away, for example, feng shui consultant could actually be more doable than I looked up feng shui. If you wanted a top 10 position for feng shui, now you're competing with over 4 million documents.
Right, right.
That makes it a lot tougher. But on pay-per-click, put in your credit card, you know, choose the keyword you want to bid in, write your ad copy, and on some of the search engines, you can start showing up in the pay-per-click ads within 15 minutes.
Oh, so
you
wow.
Yeah, you can start driving qualified traffic right away.
Cannot beat that. This is such an interesting area. And, you know, of course, everyone who has a website feels so heroic once they've launched the darn thing. It's like then the next thing you have to figure out, because there's so much involved in designing it and setting it up.
Pictures,
and you just feel like you need a break. And so that's why where your book comes in and helping to kind of break all this stuff down. So when you talk about search engine advertising, you just shared some really useful tips. And I know you have kind of a five essential steps in a pay-per-click campaign. Can you share a little bit about that?
Sure. Okay. So hopefully everyone's got their pens ready. The first step, okay, the first, or actually I should say these days with or their laptops ready so they can take notes. That's okay, too. Gone are the old days of paper. The first step is to choose your keywords, and I'd be happy to elaborate and give some more tips on how to do this. So choosing your keywords. The second step is writing your ad copy, and that includes a title and description. The third step is assigning a landing page to your ad. And a landing page is the web page that people land on once they click your ad.
Okay.
And the home page almost never makes a good landing page, and we can talk about that in just a minute.
Yeah.
The fourth step is setting up your campaigns correctly with the search engines. And there are at least half a dozen things you need to do, and I can't go through them because you need to actually set up your account. But I'll give you kind of the overview. The search engine's number one goal is to deliver traffic to you, because that's how they make their money. But that's not your goal. You don't make any money from traffic. You only make money when people, they become their leads, or they actually buy something on your site. They're conducting business with you.
Mm-hmm.
So when you set up your campaigns with the search engines, always be really careful when the search engines say, great, this delivers more traffic to you. Great, use this tool, use this feature. And they actually have it set up so you actually get more traffic than you should right away with the way they set up your keywords for you and so forth, which I don't approve of. I don't want you to spend more money than you should. Spend less money. When it works, then expand your campaign.
The fifth
step is tracking your results. And there are programs through OneShoppingCart.com, through another shopping cart you might use. The search engines offer free ad tracking tools, so you can actually track the number of leads or sales from every single keyword. And that's important to know. I had a client, and after looking at their reports and studying them, found out that one particular keyword was blowing $2,000 a month for them and not getting any sales. That's pretty important, because that was a pretty major chunk of their budget for one particular keyword.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go ahead and start with the first one.
Okay.
Before we have to take a break, we can start with choosing your keywords, Catherine. Now, any business will tell you, as I'm sure you've heard before, that, you know, they have a million of them. So how do you choose?
That's a good question. I always like starting as specific as possible first, because the more targeted you are, the more those keywords are going to convert at a higher rate. So I would rather you spend, you know, $20 and get more clients, you know, get a few clients in to turn into prospects to turn into clients right away, rather than starting with, you know, $100, for example, and maybe you get a few clients, but you've got some more waste. So
let's use your example of feng shui consultant.
Okay.
I mean, consultant is like such a broad term, and feng shui obviously is, judging from the results that came up when you just put in feng shui.
Right. Well, so that's good. This is how we can go from broad to narrow. So we're starting with feng shui, or maybe you're thinking of starting with consultant, and those are going to be, in many cases, too broad. They're going to cost too much money. They're going to be too many competitors fighting over those keywords. So here's a tool. The Yahoo tool has been having problems lately, which is too bad, but there's a free keyword tool I want to point out, that if you go to adwords.google.com, and this is the name of Google's pay-per-click program. It's Google AdWords.
Okay.
AdSense is a different program. That's for another show.
Okay.
And then on the page, it'll say, there's a link that says Get Keyword Ideas.
Okay.
And if you click that link, Google has a couple of free tools, and the one that I looked up is called Keyword Variations. And so type in a broad keyword here like feng shui, and Google will show you the average search volume and search trends and give you different keyword ideas. So I'm looking at feng shui bedroom, feng shui colors, feng shui office, feng shui tips, feng shui mirrors. I mean, this gives you a whole lot of ideas that are very, very targeted for your business.
I see. Okay, great. So you can, it's almost like a search engine thesaurus in a way.
Yeah, yeah, it is. Because sometimes it's hard for us when we're so into our business, we don't necessarily know what our customers are actually going to search for. Especially
right.
if we, especially if we come up with acronyms, for example, that mean something to us but not our customers. And CEOs of large corporations tend to fall into that problem.
Right, right. Well, it's no wonder with all the other stuff to be concerned about. So this is a really great tool. So anybody who's new to this can kind of get their feet wet by checking out that link and just starting to play around with some words.
Mm-hmm. So, again, it's adwords.google.com. If you didn't get the URL, you can go directly to it.
Right, right. Well, we're going to take a break long enough for everyone tuning in today to go check that out and do a couple of searches on your own. We're going to go to our first break. I want you guys to know that you can win a copy of Catherine's wonderful book, Search Engine Advertising, by calling into the show today and being entered into a drawing to win a copy. So call your questions or comments in about your search engine woes, successes, or challenges to Catherine here, right here, 800-773-0355. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. We'll be right back after a short break.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. We've got Catherine Seda, author of Search Engine Advertising, packing this show with useful information for how to maximize your search engine advertising. So we're just going to get right back into it. Before we took our break, Catherine shared with us her first strategy for getting your search engine results up, and that was choosing keywords. And along with that, Catherine, I wanted to ask you about using those keywords and choosing what copy you're going to write. My newsletter this morning had an article in it that dealt with trademark-related issues. Is this something that all businesses need to be concerned about when they're writing their keywords and writing their ad copy?
Yes, actually they should, because trademark marketing is extremely powerful, and those keywords convert at an astronomical rate because people type in something like Nike or Adidas. They want those brands. So if you're representing a brand and someone knows your products and services or the names of your company, these are names you want to bid on or keywords you want to bid on. Also, if you happen to be a reseller of a big brand, to market those trademarks as well, as long as that doesn't violate, let's say you're an affiliate, as long as that doesn't violate the policy that the merchant has.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
so if you have a brand name that's yours and yours alone,
oh, market it.
Then you should, number one, use it in your keywords, and number two, be on the lookout to make sure that other people are not using it to boost their results.
Correct. And there have been, since my book came out, there have been some changes in the trademark space, and I'm actually pretty happy about that. Actually, happy with one search engine, not happy with another.
What happened? Tell us a story.
When we talk about, the problem is competitors bidding on your trademark terms, and you really shouldn't bid on your competitors' trademark terms either, but if they're bidding on yours, The good news is MSN, Microsoft Search Engine, and Yahoo, if your competitors are bidding on your trademark terms, you can file a complaint with them, and they should remove those competitors from bidding on them, so long as they're a direct competitor and they're trying to sell something. So let's say Nike can't bid on the word Adidas, drive people to the Nike site and say, hey, we know you wanted Adidas, but buy Nike shoes instead. They can't do that. It doesn't
right.
mean it's not happening, but you need to bring it. It's your job to bring it up to the search engines if you see this happening.
Because
you've put all that money into your brand. Unfortunately, on Google, even if you file a complaint, they will not prevent your competitors from bidding on your trademark terms. However, they will take those keywords out of your competitors' ads, so you still want to file a complaint because you don't want someone leeching off your brand name. So at least if Adidas is going to bid or Nike is going to bid on the keyword Adidas, you at least want to tell Nike, hey, you can't use the Adidas keyword in your ad because that's ours.
I would imagine that if they haven't already, some of these cases are going to percolate their way through to some federal courthouse one day.
There have been tons of lawsuits over this already over trademark marketing. It's pretty big.
I would imagine the vast majority of them end up being settled, but I would also imagine that Google and Yahoo and the rest of them get dragged in right into the middle of it.
Sure, because they want to claim, you know, free speech, and, you know, they're just the channel. They don't really want to get involved, but at the same time, they make money off of that. Because the trademark terms convert so high, you know, there's thousands of people and people who will sell knockoff products because they don't have the overhead cost of business, and then they'll go after those big brand names to get the traffic.
Yeah. They bear obvious responsibility. So I hope the cases are coming down that way.
Yeah.
I'll be looking forward to the next version of your book where that's discussed in more detail.
Yes.
And this leads us right into your second tip, which is to write your ad copy.
Mm-hmm.
Using the words and the brand names and everything that you think are significant will draw traffic and sales to your site.
Great. Okay. So we talked a little bit about the length of the ads, 25 characters for the title, including spaces, 35 characters for each of the two description lines. So basically in your title, and if you see on something like Google, you have basically three words for your title, maybe about five words for each of the description lines. So here are a couple tips. Even though you want as many clicks as possible to help you climb the rankings even in the pay-per-click ads, you want to make sure that you get highly qualified customers. You don't want to pay for clicks that don't convert.
Right.
So whenever you can be more specific about what you offer and be real careful about using the word free, for example, where you can get a lot of looky-loos, but nobody actually comes in and does business with you. And another important tip, to make your ad more relevant, always include the keyword you bid on in either your title or description.
Okay.
Because when people are searching, they're typing in something, again, like feng shui consultant. And so if you type in something like, if your ad says something about, you know, interior design for great harmony and peace, someone's going to read that going, oh, well, that's not what I wanted at all.
Right.
Even though those might be some of the principles of feng shui.
Right. Do you also, Catherine, put those words in the landing page on your website? That's your third point, is to assign a landing page to your ad.
That was a really good transition, and yes, that's absolutely right. You've been listening.
I've also had the benefit of reading a little bit of the book, too.
Good.
But, you know, this is so important because I tell you, and I know you have studied this topic, but just from a layperson's objective observer, just a website observer, not a show host, I go on the Internet, I think I found what I'm looking for, I'm ready to buy it, my credit card is out, I click on the link, and I'm taken to a homepage with nothing. Or, you know, I'm ready to buy this basket of beautiful fruit and flowers, you know, to send to the hospital, and I go to the homepage, and there's this great fancy logo, our company's fabulous, but where's the fruit and basket that's
$49.99? Mm-hmm.
Is that what you mean?
Yep. You just pointed out a huge mistake. This is one of the most common mistakes that people make with their landing pages, is that they send people to the homepage. And the homepage, with the exception of few businesses, and I can explain what, you know, when that would be, but the homepage is almost never the most relevant page for your ad. So if someone, you're right, let's use your example, someone types in fruit baskets, and they go to a gift site homepage, they've already told you by going to a search engine exactly what they want. So you should take them to the fruit gift baskets page,
right,
not to the homepage, because they're going to get there and say, well, maybe they don't offer that anymore, or,
right,
you know, I'm not going to go looking around. I don't have this kind of time. And they're going to hit the back button and go check out another pay-per-click ad.
That's right. That's what I did.
I've done that even on big companies where I've gotten excited about the offer that I've seen. Let's say a free vase with an order of flowers. So I've clicked on that ad just to get that free offer, and I don't see it on the landing page. So I think, oh, no, I probably missed the ad. It's no longer available. You know, they took down the offer, and I missed it.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think
about searching
this
around?
I just put in just your opinion on this. I just went to Google, and I put in fruit basket.
Okay.
And what came back, the first, this is not a sponsored link. This is an unsponsored link called fruits-basket.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the home page, and I don't see anything about a fruit basket. I see, it looks like it's a video website.
Oh.
And so maybe that's not true. I haven't entered the site and spent any time there, but it does look like it's a video site. So this is an example, is it not, of how the words fruit basket may not be the best for your company if you're selling fruit baskets, because this is the brand name of a totally unrelated type of business.
That is weird. It's like a cartoon, one of those animation type DVDs.
Yeah. Yeah, and so this sort of supports your point earlier about doing some research, and I know your book talks about this in great detail for people who are interested in learning things that may not be for me. I would never think that fruit basket would take me any place other than to a fruit basket.
Right.
Of some kind.
I'm surprised that, and again, because most of us, I don't know if this brand, Fruits Basket, is that strong of a brand, but they're showing up in the organic, the free search results, but the meta tags that they're probably using, or the site, or the copy that's coming off their site, is the official site of the English translation of Fruits Basket, which doesn't really tell you anything anyway. So
no, but then if you look at the sponsored links, they all seem quite relevant. Companies like Harry and David and the Fruit Company and FTD, of course.
So
that's the power of, I guess, using those sponsored links and rising above this animation company.
Well, and you brought up a good point, too, on doing, it's really important to do the research on competitors, because their ads impact your ad. Because in this case, someone's looking at, let's say, you know, there's a whole page of titles and descriptions for fruit baskets. And how are you going to make yours stand out? So, for example, if everyone on this page is offering free shipping with fruit baskets, if you just put free shipping, that's no longer a hot offer, because everybody else is doing it too.
Right.
So if we can, since I pulled that up, that result also, for example, here are a couple good ones, probably perfect for the holiday. HarryandDavid.com, over 250 gifts under $50, ordered by December 15th for holiday arrival. I mean, they've made it very custom for this particular season.
You know, and that's such a good point that you made, because no matter what kind of business you're in, you can squeeze a ton of information into that description.
Yep.
And they did. Look, they tell you how many. They tell you where to go. They say, they put your deadline. I mean, it's everything you need to buy something for someone for a holiday gift.
Mm-hmm. And you've got to give them an incentive to click your ad instead of somebody else's. And since the competitors change often, they can change, you can change your ad anytime you want. Competitors can change their ad anytime they want. You need to periodically look at the ads so you can see what your competitors are doing, because there are always going to be new competitors and new ads, because you want to set yourself, your ad, better than theirs. Give folks a new offer.
Right. Now, you talked about assigning the right landing page to your ad. When you're doing your research, Catherine, is there a way to check your competitor's landing page for what keywords are used in their website that match, for lack of a better word, the keywords that they're using in their ad?
Yep. Actually, that's a very good point. What you can do is, now don't click them to death, because that's not nice business karma, but if you click on these ads, it should take you, if the competitors are doing what they're supposed to do, they should take you to their appropriate landing page. And because the keywords you bid on almost always have to be in the landing page, you can check out your competitors' landing pages for other keyword ideas.
Now, why is it possible to hide those words on your landing page, or do they have to be there for spidering purposes?
Okay, because we're talking about the search engine optimization as well. People can put their, to rank well in the organic listings, people can put keywords in their meta tags, and you can simply view those by going up to your browser, hitting view, then scroll down to source, and you'll see the keywords at the top of the page. But most people aren't focusing. Keywords aren't all that in a bag of chips anymore. They're not as important as they once were. And if you want to check out your competitors on pay-per-click ads, then you need to check out your pay-per-click competitors and actually look at the keywords on their actual landing pages.
Oh, okay. So in our example, we would go to Harry and David and click on the landing page and find out what the keywords are.
It's just they should be all right there. So
yeah.
I had a funny problem with that, and this was actually years ago. It's still for a good story because it can still happen, where I was bidding on for a client the word white sewing machine. Now, we didn't have white sewing machine on the copy, but there was a picture of a white sewing machine, and the ad was still rejected because we didn't officially say white sewing machine somewhere on the page. So in case your ads get rejected, it could be, and the search engines will tell you, there'll be little notes inside the system, but it could be that you're not including those keywords in your landing page. And that's one way the search engines can help make sure your ads are going to be relevant.
Right, and is that also one way that they make sure that people aren't just using particular words to get traffic to their website, even though it's not pertinent?
Right, right, and that could be something, you know, we can always look to the porn sites for being innovative with that kind of marketing.
Right. I think I heard someone once call this blacklisting.
If you want to talk more, probably the black hat SEO, which would be
something
different.
Oh, okay, something like that. I knew it was like, you know, they won't pay attention to you if you keep using words that basically end up frustrating their users. They're ultimately, you know, not going to like you very much.
No.
Well, those are great. The first 3 points, wonderful. We're going to take a short break and come back and cover the last 2 points. We are here today with Catherine Seda, author of Search Engine Advertising, Buying Your Way to the Top to Increase Sales. We hope that you'll join our conversation today. Give us a call, 800-773-0355. And while you're online, go to Catherine with a C. Seda.com. That's Catherine Seda, SEDA.com. Get some free tips, sign up for the newsletter, and check out the information there about Catherine's services. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. We're here with Catherine Seda, and she is giving us the 5 greatest tips on maximizing your search engine advertising. We've got 5 of them. We've gone through the first 3. That's choosing your keywords, writing your ad copy, and then assigning a landing page to your ad. We've got 2 more to cover, Catherine, the first being setting up your campaign correctly. That sounds like very important thing to do, but how do you do it?
Okay. So if you go to adwords.google.com.
Okay.
Okay. And because this is an example. Oh, I should actually bring up, because people ask me all the time, which one should I start with, which search engines? And Google is definitely the biggest. I can't remember the last stat, if it was 40 or almost 50% of U.S. searches. Yahoo runs at about 20% of U.S. searches and about 10% for MSN.
And now, is this the most amazing business story in the universe? These people, these two guys who started Google, I know we're not here to talk about that, but it is amazing.
Yeah. It's funny.
Anyway, and plus they're getting all this free press, but anyway.
I've been doing internet marketing since 1995, so it's pretty neat to have been in it from the beginning and to have seen it grown up. And I could tell you some fun stories, but I won't bore you into that, and where I was in college and the tools I had to use, and the first time I got to play with Mosaic or WebCrawler was the first search engine I ever used. And
We'll have to have you back for that.
Yeah.
So setting up your campaign correctly.
So AdWords.google.com, and what you can do is on this page, just at the bottom it says sign up now. And there is, I don't want to scare people, it's a very easy way to get started. I would click on the standard edition.
Okay.
Because you have two choices, because you really want access to all the full tools so that you can manage your campaigns better.
Okay.
And what you'll do is go through this process for two reasons. You won't even have to put in a credit card yet, but you can put in a title and description, put in all of your keywords. I won't take you through the entire process because it'll take a little bit longer. Choose the target, the areas, the countries, the cities, the states, the provinces that you want your ads to show up in. You can put in your keywords, and the search engines, before you even put in your credit card, will tell you an estimated monthly budget, which is really helpful because that's the other question I get asked all the time. Well, how much is this going to cost me?
Right.
So you can start with, you know, if you have 50 or 100 keywords, put them in there and just see how much it'll cost. Then you can delete from there and say, oh, wow, I really didn't want to spend that much money per month. And look at that one particular keyword is eating 50% of my budget.
Mm-hmm.
So you can cut out that particular keyword. Now, here's
one thing.
And then, so that way, that gets you a budgeting, which is great. I think that's a really, really helpful tip. Now, in setting up the campaigns correctly, there are a whole bunch of things to do, but here's the most important one that I want to tell you about today, is that when you go through this process, the search engines will start you in a number one bid position. Why? Because they make the most amount of money.
Okay, I see.
And even though it's, again, a combination of your click-through rate and what you're willing to spend, the search engines say, hey, let's start you off at the highest possible bid. We're going to start you above everybody else. Well, that's not necessarily where you want to be. I'd rather you focus on writing effective ad copy to get more clicks so you don't have to pay as much money. And the number one position is almost never the most profitable one.
Really?
Can you guess why?
No, why?
Okay. Think about when you do your searching and you're looking at the search results, and I know I do this all the time. I am a comparison shopper, and so are most people. So let's say we type in a keyword, we hit an ad, we check out that website, we hit the back button, go to the next advertiser, right? It takes us probably about, you know, somewhere around listing 3, 4, 5 maybe. Now we feel like we're informed shoppers.
I see what you mean. Yeah, okay.
And now we're ready to buy. So if you're in a number one position, unless there are no advertisers, you're probably overbidding because you're not necessarily getting the highest number of customers you can. It might not happen in the number one position. You might get the most traffic in a number one position because people do, there's traffic and it does decline from number one on down.
Right.
But that's not typically where the greatest sales happen.
Right. Once again, that's such a good point. I talk with people all the time who have online businesses, as we all do, and one of the things I hear most frequently is, yeah, well, I put such and such a keywords in, and such and such a business was the first sponsored link, as if that was, like, the best thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and intuitively, I mean, you'd think, oh, wow, gee, they must really know what they're doing, and perhaps they do, but what you're saying is that just because they're getting more click-throughs doesn't necessarily mean it's translating into dollars just because they're at the top spot.
Right, right.
Wow,
because
that's a great point.
People compare shop, and I do the same thing. I want to see who's out there, check out the offers, so clicking, you know, people click the back button.
Right.
So if you can even aim to fit into, you know, the top five position is generally good because some of these search engines will show the top five results or so on other search engines. So, for example, if you're, you know, number one on Google, you'll be number one on AOL. You know, they feed the results to other search engines and other websites as well. So you get a lot of traffic by usually maintaining a top five position.
Wow, okay. And it kind of goes back and forth between that for most companies, right? One day you may be on the very top, the next day you may not be.
Right, because there is some fluctuation because people are changing their bids or they're changing their ad copy or some advertisers drop out, new advertisers jump in. So another question is being able to monitor this program. In some cases, some small business owners, they might come in and check their ads once a week, and that's fine for them because they're not spending a whole lot of money or their competitors aren't really active and they're thinking, great, I'm maintaining a top 10 position, that's all I care about.
Mm-hmm.
In other cases, for large corporations, I'll usually recommend bid management tools which help automate the process, but you could be updating your bids every hour.
Now, I know we want to get to number five, but Catherine, I have to ask this question. What kind of tips can you offer for people to manage this stuff? I mean, it's really, do you have to hire someone? Should you hire somebody for a little while to get the hang of it, to train you on it? What has been your experience with small businesses?
Generally, what I recommend to small business owners is that they outsource the search engine optimization side because that's a lot more technical on using the meta tags and getting links to the site and doing programming types of things. Pay-per-click is more of a marketing function, and by actually at least starting to do your own pay-per-click ads, you will get so much information on your customers, on the keywords they're using to actually buy something from you, the ads that work best for you. And you can, again, get started. You can start with, if you want to, just 10 keywords. You can put in a budget. The search engines, that's another good tip. The search engines let you put in a daily budget, and I highly recommend doing that. So you can say, look, I only want to spend $5 a day or $100 a day, whatever the amount is. And then you can come in and check your ads for the first couple weeks. I would do it every day just to see what's happening, see how much you're spending, see what's going on with your keywords. And then at some point you can, again, you might be in a position where you can check your ads once a week and be fine with that. And changing new ad copy, if you can, monthly or at least quarterly. But again, small business owners who, might panic about that, put up some ads and see how they do.
Right.
If they do pretty well, you might be able to write off that ad for several months before you change it.
Right. Okay. Well, that brings up tracking your results. Let's see. Mm-hmm. How do you find out how your ride is going, Catherine?
Yeah. the search for small business owners, they can start with the free search engine tools, Google, Yahoo, and MSN. They have free tracking tools. Now, what I like is that at least it shows you the number of orders or leads from each keyword. What they don't do is they don't show you the revenue numbers. And what I like to do is actually see, I use the search engines to show me, okay, great, this month I spent $500 on keywords, but I like a third-party tracking tool to show me, cool, I made $2,500 off those keywords.
Now, how can you get that kind of service?
Conversion Ruler is one low-end tool, what low-cost tool that can help you with that. So I like that one. If you have a shopping cart, there, you've got another free option, which is pretty cool. So if you're using OneShoppingCart.com or Yahoo,
right,
I don't think...
that stuff, right?
Yeah, they have something called an ad tracking tool. So in your system, it's the coolest thing. You can put together submit a keyword to OneShoppingCart.com, and they will generate a tracking URL for that particular keyword. And that will be the landing page URL you'll use in the search engines. I hope I didn't get too technical there.
No, you didn't actually. I don't think so. And most people can at least start with the point you made about a lot of people, don't they, Catherine, have at least some little bit of tracking tool capability through their hosting company that they may not even know about.
Correct. Yeah, that's very true. So if anything, this call just showed you, hey, you've got free tracking tools you can use you might not be using right now.
Yeah, get on your hosting company website or call the toll-free number and find out how to activate those. And that's another way, right, to kind of get your feet wet because this can seem so unmanageable and overwhelming at first.
It can. And so for the small business owners who are now a little panicked thinking, I don't know if I can do this, you don't even have to. Here's the simple way for tracking. Set a budget. Let's say you want to start with $100 for the month. So you'll put in the daily budget for that. spend the $100. Don't worry about the tracking tools for now. If you get new business and you're not doing anything other than pay-per-click, then you know, great, that $100 turned into $5,000 worth of new business or $1,000.
Yeah, you sign us up for that.
Yeah, you don't have to get... I get crazy about the details about finding out how much money each individual keyword makes, but... Again, if you start with $100 and you get, you know, a 5 times or 10 times return on your investment, if you get some phone calls or you see online orders come in, then you know it's working for you.
All right. Now, Catherine, what do you see as the things that are on the horizon for search engine advertising? What are the things that we're going to have to be on the lookout for over the next couple of years that are sort of percolating there up to the forefront?
We're kind of already... seeing, well, I should say some developments in local search advertising is huge. So if you're a local-only business, or even if you're not, their companies or consumers are getting a lot more sophisticated about typing in regional keywords into their search. And
oh.
So people are typing in San Diego catering or, you know, Life Coach New York. People are getting more sophisticated. So that's one thing that many business owners should start considering is doing local search advertising and hitting that market. The problem I see, it's still this way, even with large corporations, people are paying the least attention, advertisers are spending the least attention on improving their landing pages. And that's where a huge difference can happen. Because all the traffic in the world doesn't matter if nobody does business with you once they hit your website.
That is so true. If you notice a lot of times when you go to a website and you see the bottom of the page says, you know, 3,049 hits or whatever, or how many visitors we've had.
Yeah.
Kind of like, yeah, and?
Yeah. People will get very excited about pay-per-click going, great, I can pay for clicks, and I think, who cares about the clicks? You know, show me the money.
Right.
How much
That's
money
right.
does this
That's
make
right.
you?
You have to be able to correlate that, and your book does such a good job. There's sections in there about calculating that return on investment, and I think this is just such a great categorization, Catherine, that you've done here. You've taken a lot of information and put it, in different chapters where they all make sense. And so it's almost like each chapter is a book in and of itself. Like there's a section here on click fraud, which is a whole issue, in and unto itself. Trademark infringement, there's another one.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a really great tool. I encourage people to check it out. Catherine Seda's book, Search Engine Advertising, Buying Your Way to the Top to Increase Sales. Now tell us, Catherine, in a few minutes that we have left, how we can learn more about you and maybe where you're going to be speaking in 2007 so we can check you out and meet you personally.
Oh, good. Well, I think the best thing to do is to get on my email list because that's where I make my announcements. So if you go to www.catherineseda.com, there's a tiny little newsletter link up at the top, an easing link, and I know my own website, when you're a marketer, you're always the last one to get your own marketing efforts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I will be speaking at an event. I don't have the details yet, but in Los Angeles, the end of January, an event with Entrepreneur Magazine because I'm one of their columnists, and it's a women's small business conference, so I'll definitely keep you posted on that if you sign up for the newsletter. And I have a couple of speaking tours next year. Again, I don't have all the dates. I can't release them yet because my second book is coming out in February. And it's an internet marketing book for small business owners with a heavy emphasis on how to not only attract customers, but at the same time get those free search engine listings in the organic search results and also how to attract the press.
What a great threefer. You'll have the advertising, the free listing, and the media thing all together.
Yes.
We've got to get that.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll be looking for that, and we can visit your website, CatherineSeda.com, to find out when that book is going to be available. Can I have you back after it's out?
Oh, yes, please. That would be great.
I'd love to have you again. Thank you so much for joining. It was great to have you.
Thank you.
I want you guys to know that I've got some great shows coming up for you next weekend, or next week. On December the 18th, we've got Elizabeth Hagen, who is Making Your Life Easier. This is the Family CEO, which stands for Calm, Efficient, and Organized. Elizabeth is going to be here next week to help us, hopefully, be all three of those things throughout the holiday season and into the new year as we plan our businesses for 2007. So I'll see you next week when Elizabeth Hagen will be here. In the meantime, get out there and break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. Have a great week.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.